On more than one occasion, as I've served the Lord the past number of years in the pulpit, I have a conversation that goes something like this. You know, Pastor, I was just thinking about that scripture passage not that long ago. Or, you know, Pastor, I was just reading that exact scripture passage just a couple of days ago. And as Brian and I were talking before the service, when he shared with me that he had shared those verses with his class not that long ago, I'm like, well, God, you did it again. You know, you're amazing as usual. You have a way of working those things out. Oftentimes, whenever I'm preparing for a message, especially when I'm visiting a pulpit, oftentimes I like to preach from series. But whenever I'm a guest in a pulpit, I have to wrestle much with God to try to figure out what it is that I want to say. And as I wrestled over these past several weeks in preparing and looking through, I looked through devotionals and magazines and the Word of God and all sorts of things. There's a great devotional actually just yesterday in our Daily Bread that I'll be sharing the story from that. And that kind of helped me to shape and to mold the message that the Lord wanted me to give to you this morning. So before we do that, however, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. God, we are so thankful for your word, which speaks in different ways to different people. We're thankful, Lord, for the context of your word, which demonstrates to us how relevant you are and how relevant your word is each and every day of our lives. We thank you, God, for helping us to discern your truth. Lord, may you help me to rightly divide your word and share your word and explain your word to these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Defeat or victory? Do you have a defeated faith or do you have a victorious faith? This morning, I'll be focusing specifically on the first five verses of the passage that Brian so ably read to you, 1 John 5:1-5. But I want you to be thinking about this sentence and turning it over in your mind as I share from the Word with you this morning. When it comes to problems, the way out is to trust God on the way through. When it comes to problems, the way out is to trust God on the way through. In our Daily Bread yesterday, the entry for Saturday, June 18th, is where I borrow the title for my sermon from, Defeat or Victory. And it read, each year on June 18th, the Great Battle of Waterloo is recalled in what is now Belgium. On that day in 1815, Napoleon's French army was defeated by a multinational force commanded by the Duke of Wellington. Since then, the phrase to meet your Waterloo has come to mean to be defeated by someone who is too strong for you or by a problem that is too difficult for you. When it comes to our spiritual lives, some people feel that ultimate failure is inevitable. And it's only a matter of time until each of us will meet our Waterloo. But John refuted that pessimistic view when he wrote to followers of Jesus, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. John weaves this theme of spiritual victory throughout his first letter as he urges us not to love the things this world offers, which will soon fade away, 1 John 2:15-17. Instead, we are to love and please God, and this is what he promised us, eternal life, 1 John 2:25. While we may have ups and downs in life, and even some battles that feel like defeats, the ultimate victory is ours in Christ as we trust in his power. That's good news to me, that ultimately the victory that we have is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ offers that faith to us as we strive and strain and dare to succeed in the midst of a world that is increasingly becoming more opposed to Christianity as opposed to being in favor of Christianity. So, what is faith? Faith is to trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. It's always good to get those definitions out of the way at the beginning of a message, I think, so that we're all working with the same vocabulary and the same language. And so I ask you that question again, and I hope to convince you this day that ours is not a defeated faith, but ours is in fact a victorious faith. When it comes to problems, the way out is to trust God on the way through by exercising our faith in the Son of God. Three verses which really stick out in my mind from the scripture passage that was read are verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4, and that's going to kind of be the meat and potatoes of the message this morning. Verse 1 reads, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Verse 3, at least in part, reads, "His commands are not burdensome." And verse 4 reads, at least in part, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world." Everyone born of God overcomes the world. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. As I was preparing the message, a great song by a contemporary Christian musician, I'm not sure if it's been sung here. If it hasn't, it probably should be. It's a song by Mandisa, and it's called Overcomer. And let me just read the chorus to you. "You are an overcomer. Stay in the fight till the final round. You're not going under, 'cause God is holding you right now. You might be down for a moment, feeling like it's hopeless. That's when He reminds you that you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. All of us are overcomers in Jesus Christ." So what are those characteristics of the overcomer that Mandisa sings about that I just read to you about? Well, saving faith is the first characteristic of an overcomer. John 3:15. "Everyone who believes in Him," everyone who believes in Jesus, "may have eternal life." Everyone who believes in Jesus may have eternal life. 1 John 4, verse 15. "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God." If we believe in the incarnation, it means that we believe that God enters the world in Jesus Christ. That's rather staggering, isn't it? If we believe in the incarnation, it means that we believe that God enters the world in Jesus Christ. God cares enough for us to lay aside His glory and to take up the limitations of humanity. God shares in all the activities of our lives and knows our trials, our temptations, and our sorrows. Faith in the incarnation is the conviction that God shares with us
And God cares for us. If we believe in the incarnation, we have the continual presence of God in Christ Jesus. The first characteristic of an overcomer is saving faith. Verse 3 says, His commands are not burdensome. Early on in my marriage, I was one of those guys who didn't like to read the instruction manual very well. I oftentimes would say to my wife, "Oh no, I got this. I can take care of it. I can put this together without reading the directions." Well, oftentimes the end result of that not paying attention to the manual, not paying attention to the directions, was a three-legged table, which should have been a four-legged table, a bicycle with wheels that spun backwards, gears that didn't quite work, wagons which weren't quite put together, and all sorts of battery-operated, screwed-in, screwed-up kind of projects underneath the Christmas tree for my children each and every Christmas day. So, I learned that it is very important to follow the instruction manual. In the same way, it's very important to follow the Word of God. You follow the directions, you're going to be okay. You're going to do what God wants you to do. You say, "Oh, I got this. I know that Bible thing from Genesis to Revelation. I'm fine." Time after time after time, our lack of knowledge is that which gets us in trouble as we are trying to be believers in Christ, living out our faith in a hostile community. So obedience is the second characteristic of an overcomer. Saving faith is the first characteristic of an overcomer. Obedience is the second characteristic of an overcomer. John 14:15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." If you love me, you will obey what I command. It is the way of God never to lay a commandment on us without also giving us the strength to carry it out. Now, I'm not saying or asking or inviting all of us to come along and be perfect Christians, because we're not. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. Sin dwells and abides in each and every one of us. But if we are faithful to the Word of God, as God is faithful to us, if the Lord gives us challenges that we need to face, He will give us the strength to overcome those challenges. He will give us the faith to get through those challenges. And I've found time and time again, after the trials and temptations and difficulties of my life, that I found my faith to be stronger after a difficult time, stronger than it was before that difficult time hit me. The other verse which really grabbed me and shook me up a bit in 1 John was that part of verse 4 which says, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world." Everyone born of God overcomes the world. If we believe in the incarnation, we believe in a God who went to the cross for us. And we believe in a God who can help us through our deepest and darkest trials and disappointments. And that Greek word there for overcome, it's written two different ways in that passage for a very particular reason. It says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's talking about two different kinds of victory in that passage. It's talking about the initial victory of turning in faith from the world to God. That's the has overcome part of the passage. The initial victory of turning in faith from the world to God. That which enables us to conquer the world is faith. We have the strength to endure the attacks of the world because of faith. We have the strength to overcome the sorrows of life because of faith. We have the strength to conquer our disappointments because of faith. We have the ability to turn failures into successes because of faith. You're catching the theme there. Because of faith, we have the strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's that initial victory of turning in faith from the world to God, that has overcome sort of victory. And then there's the continual daily victory of Christian living. The faith, the victory that overcomes. Our belief in the incarnation provides us with daily victory from the pressures of worldly standards and motives. Remember what Paul says. Paul says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are provided because of our faith, which Jesus gives to us, by the way. Jesus gives us all these things. We don't do it on our own. We do it because of what Jesus does through us. We're provided with daily victory from the pressures of worldly standards and motives, and daily victory from the fascination with wrong things. Because of our hope in Jesus Christ, we have the indestructible hope of final victory. The world did its worst to Jesus. It hunted and hounded and slandered him. It branded him a heretic, a sinner, and a friend of sinners. It judged, tried, crucified, and buried him. It did everything humanly possible to break and eliminate him. And it failed. Thanks be to God that it failed. We have with us one who saw life at its grimmest, one to whom life did its worst, one who died and could not be held by death. One who offers us a share in that final victory. If we believe in the incarnation, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, then we have with us Jesus, the victor, who gives us the victory. Faith. Obedience, the overcoming power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These three things has He given to us. These three things are what He calls us to exercise: our faith, our obedience, and the ability to overcome that He first shared with us, that He first showed to us by defeating death on the cross. And by being raised from the dead on the third day. Let us pray.